Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're in season 17, episode 4, 5, 6. We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast, and we're deep diving the worst season of Grey's.
We have done everything up until this point, but if you have not watched through season 19, at least halfway through, I recommend going back and doing that first because we are a spoilers podcast and we don't want to ruin the show for you. Also, what's really cool is if one episode a week isn't enough for you, you can support us by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. We have a private Facebook group. We have monthly Zooms. We have, I just want to say the Facebook group is really great, especially right now when the show is going to be on, because most of our friends aren't watching the show. So if you need to discuss it with people, it's a great place to do that. We also send out a holiday card every year.
Yeah.
What else? I'm missing one. Oh, Post-op. Which is at the end of the episode after we call time of death. We continue talking on a topic for about 5 to 10 minutes. Today's topic is about Jo questioning changing her specialty. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that and how it pertains to the new seasons, then you'll have to stick around and be a patron.
Yes. Speaking of Facebook.
Yes.
I just want to let listeners know. I decided to take a step away from Facebook. I think Facebook can be a really great place. The On Call Room pod squad listener area is one of the safest places on Facebook, I feel. And we have like a great moderator, Jade, who helps with that. So I don't want anyone thinking that me leaving Facebook has anything to do with that. But I'm just not there right now. It's a personal choice I made that I needed to do for my mental health is great. Step away from Facebook. But we are still available on Instagram.
Yes.
So if there's something specifically that you think, like, I really want Bree to know this, Bree and Abby, but you can follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod, and you can shoot us a message there. So, or you can always email us at theoncallroom@gmail.com.
Also, please tag us when you're listening to the show. It's my favorite thing to see.
Yes. And we would love to share it on Instagram.
Yep. Someone of you was painting.
Oh my God, so...
And listening.
That's so nice.
Which painting in a podcast is honestly, it makes painting tolerable.
Also, I love people will send us like Grey's TikToks or reels, I guess, on Instagram. I'm not with it.
That's not true. You are on TikTok.
I'm on TikTok, but I'm not producing content, but I am consuming.
Imagine if we were.
Consuming content.
Oh my God, should we put out a call? Do we need a TikTok content producer for our show?
No. We already have too many things on our plate. Finally, please leave us a review, 5 scalpels anywhere you listen. It really helps us and we appreciate all the kind words that so many of you have left in the past.
Yeah. I got an undeserved 2-star Poshmark review today. And so you could all make me feel a lot better by giving me a 5-star podcast review.
Yeah. Be like, Abby is a great podcaster. She's also wonderful on Poshmark.
Should I reply to the person that gave me a review and be like, I have a 4.8 rating on a podcast.
On Apple Podcasts. So
suck it.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to let everyone know the game plan for a second here.
Oh, great. About next week.
Yes, because I think this is important. So today we're talking about season 17, episode 4, 5, and 6. And next week, I'm pulling up the text from you where I wrote it. Next week, we will be discussing Grey's Anatomy. I'm sorry. Station 19, Season 4, Episode 6, Train in Vain. This is the one when DeLuca and his sister go after the human trafficker. And I don't know what happens because I've never seen it.
Right.
Then we'll be watching Grey's Anatomy, Season 17, Episode 7, and then Episode 8.
That's correct. And so if you like to watch the episodes before you listen to the podcast, make sure you throw in Station 19 there. And again, Abby and I have not watched that show, so it'll be interesting to talk about it. But it does, we know that it's a big portion of DeLuca's storyline is crossed over into Station 19. So we wanted to honor his goodbye and watch his full demise.
Yeah, this is like unofficially the DeLuca goodbye episode next week. It's DeLuca heavy. I'm not going to be trying to learn all those other character storylines.
No.
But I do want to know what the fuck happened between then and him arriving in an ambulance.
Yes. So that's what we're going to do.
So jarring. We'll talk about it next week.
So that's the plan. Tonight it's just strict grays, just
strict COVID. So much COVID.
But before we get into that, you told the listeners last week that you were going to New York, and I'm sure they all wonder, and I wonder how it went.
I went.
Yeah.
And I'm back.
Did you have enough tampons?
Yes, I did, actually, because it didn't start until Sunday.
Great.
So I only needed it that day. It was great. I went on a retreat, I guess you would call it, not really a workshop. My job is very isolating in the personal world because, like, I'm my only employee. And within our group of friends, I'm the only one that does this job specifically. Yeah. And so a lot of times, not right now because I'm not doing weddings, but actually I kind of am this month. But Saturdays, when everyone else is frolicking, I'm at work. And just the job itself can sometimes feels very isolating because, like, I can't talk to anyone about it and have them, like, fully relate. And so having friends in the industry has been really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, you know, whenever you talk to someone in your specific grad school program, they just, like, fucking get it. And yeah, it's just, like, it's just really nice. And so I got to go on a retreat with a bunch of women wedding photographers. And we were in not fully upstate New York. We were, like, an hour and a half north of the city via train, which was great. I got to take a train.
That's cool.
I love trains. And it was just really nice. It was.
Can,
like,
I ask, do you love trains because of Harry Potter?
It did feel. Also, I did you see that? I posted a clip. Like, there was, like, a mountain, yeah, and water.
Yeah.
And then also across the way, you would see another train. And that looked like Polar Express.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I just think trains are dope. And I wish we had them in Michigan more than, like, the one Amtrak.
I do, too.
Like, I wish we had one going up north.
That would be so. I wish we had one going across the fucking country, like a speed, yeah, train.
I know.
That would be dope. Why don't we have more trains?
Right. Like, I don't want to spend 3 days getting to Denver.
No, I want to spend a day.
Yeah. And so that was great. So it was a lot of really good women, a great Airbnb. And then we also went and saw Kimberly Akimbo on Friday. I dragged everyone there. I said, you have to see the show. So I got to see it a second time, which made me feel like it's now settled in my body.
Yeah.
It was like, when you see a new show and you really like it, I feel like I couldn't remember any of why I liked it. And now I do. And the cast album comes out on Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Oh, that's so exciting.
To all those celebrating,
happy Valentine's.
Kimberly Akimbo Day.
Yeah.
So it was great. Thank you for asking. And then I got home and, oh my God, the best realization was what I got home at, like, 2 o'clock on Saturday. I thought it was Sunday though. And I was like, so I watched all three episodes of Grace.
Oh.
I got my emails done. I was doing all, I get sent out some previews to a client and I was so tired too. And then I was like, wait,
it's Saturday.
Right. So then I had Sunday to just, like, I cleaned, but that was even healing.
Yeah, absolutely. Being gone all week and then, mm-hmm, like, getting your house in order is always a good feeling.
Brie and I always send each other a photo of a candle.
Yeah.
Because that means we did it.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake didn't understand. I was like, I can't wait to light a candle after this. He's like, why can't you light a candle now? I was like,
no,
until you're done.
Nope, not until you're done with all of the cleaning.
Yeah. What did you do this past week? I haven't seen you since last Monday. I didn't see you. We did it.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't seen each other in a while.
Weeks.
I don't really remember what I did during the week, to be completely honest. I mean, school and stuff. John got sick. Oh, yeah. John got a cold. So he was out. He took Wednesday and Thursday off of work, which was really interesting for me because I've sunken into, like, I'm home alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was home. But we separated. And I'm surprised I didn't get sick. Like,
yeah.
I think part of it was, like, he stayed upstairs and, yeah, I stayed downstairs. So spent a lot of the week, like, taking care of him and, like, making dinner for us and, you know,
yeah,
things like that. But he's feeling a lot better. And then Saturday I went to his brother's show. His brother's in a band called Ficus, and it was our friend's 40th birthday party, and he really wanted to go see them play, and unfortunately, John was still not well.
I didn't know that was for his birthday.
Yeah, oh. And John wasn't well, and so he had to stay home, and it was really quite a bummer because, like, it was all of John's friends there, and, like,
oh, wow,
me. Oh. Like, so I know, and it was his brother playing, but they didn't go on until 11 o'clock.
Oh, I couldn't have made it. There's no way I could have made it.
And but it was great. They did a wonderful job. And then yesterday we went on a walk through Aquinas because it was, like, sunny. Yeah. And he was feeling a little bit better. And I was, like, in my, like, kind of anxiety of having gone out the night before and having ciders and, like, you know, being, like, kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to just go get out of my head. And yeah, so I was like, would you like to go on a walk with me? And he too had, like, you know, not been moving a lot because he was sick. So it was really good to just, like,
got
get
that
outside.
Vitamin D.
Yeah. Get outside and move our bodies a little bit. And then we finished all of Top Chef. last night.
Wow.
So we are done.
When did you start this journey?
That's a great question. I want to say it's probably been...
For sure a year, right?
No, I would say like 6 months.
Wow.
Which is like... And there's 19 seasons.
That's so impressive. We've done, that's all you guys have been watching.
That's all. So now we can like move on to something else. But it was... The last season was so good. Well, the new season... Well, this is exciting.
Oh, no.
The new season's coming out soon.
You can watch
so now
it live.
We get to watch it live. And our friend Chris, shout out... Like, we get to watch it live together.
Should I watch it?
Yeah, because he loves Top Chef.
I have never seen it. I'd like to start.
Great. So we can all, like, watch it week by week together.
Where is it on?
I think it's on Bravo.
So, like, my YouTube TV will...
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah. So it was funny. We were finishing that. And we're not big, like, Super Bowl people. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, whatever. And... So we did actually like stream it on my computer. So we had it muted and we'd like pause it if we saw like a commercial. And like unmute. So we were kind of doing both. And then we watched the halftime show.
Great.
Which was great. But dude, that commercial with the dog, I thought about you the entire time.
Yeah, because it's like the part that at first you're like, okay, yeah, stereotypical dog lives the whole life. But then it did that quick 10-second from the dog's perspective.
I know.
And that fucked me up.
I know.
McCoy was like sleeping with his head underneath the credenza also in our living room, which was idiotic because if every time he woke up, he'd fucking hit his head. Like, but yeah, I was like.
I wonder
how much dog food they sold. I bet a lot.
Oh, so much.
Because I was like, do I need to start feeding raw dog food to my dog?
Well, I got so nervous that the dog was going to die at the end. And yeah. I loved that it like.
You knew it was going to at some point.
But like. They didn't show that. Like, I was like, oh, we're going to have a dog funeral in this commercial.
Did you see the Amazon dog commercial?
Yes. Wait, I did.
That started like, it was like a COVID puppy. And so everyone was home and then they all went back to work.
Oh, they got it a new dog.
Yeah. But the dog was destroying everything.
Yes.
My mom said that to me. She's like, that's your dog. When you guys leave. I was like, it absolutely is.
I thought about that too. And then you think they order a crate. You think they're going to get rid of the dog and the dog looks super
so
nervous, but then he just got a buddy.
Wild thing about that is the TikTok algorithm is serving me exactly what I want. When I was scrolling this morning, I got to the people who own those dogs.
Oh.
Them watching the commercial with those two dogs.
Oh.
And the other, like, there was that them and another TikTok was the dog in the other commercial. So it was like famous dogs.
Famous dogs.
Speaking
of old animals, I told Abby this, but I'm pretty sure my cat Marge is deaf. And it is like the saddest thing. I'm taking her to the vet on Friday.
How old is she?
She's, I think, 12.
Okay.
I mean, she's still like thriving. She's still eating, playing, she's purring, but she has like...
She's also screaming.
She's also screaming. And we have like, John and I read an article last night and there was like 7 symptoms that say your cat's deaf and she had every single one of them. And the thing, I feel sad and they were like, deaf cats can still live a happy, fulfilling life. You know, like the article was like, it's fine. But the thing that broke my heart is she can't hear my voice. Like she, and I think about that commercial of like that dog, right? Like
she can't hear anything.
She like knows me and she can't hear me anymore. And it's so sad.
She knows your smell.
Well, and she's been really needy. And they say that happens with deaf cats. Cause like if they've been like a very close animal originally, like they want to be closer to you because they feel safe because they can't hear.
Otherwise, she's probably used to hearing you in the room, even if you're not.
Yeah.
There.
And like they're still evolutionary. Like, you know, they're trying to like listen for predators. And so she can't. And so she's like, well, I'll just go be with my mom who will keep me safe. Which is like.
What if she's like, I'm here to keep my mom safe.
Oh.
That's probably what she's doing.
She probably is. She's sleeping over there. I just love her so much.
I do too. In 10 years when Marge moves on, it's going to be 10.
Good number to choose.
I will not be well.
I don't think any of us will be well.
No, she's been a staple.
Yeah. She has seen me through so much. And
McCoy has somehow been around only 1 year less than Marge, but does not feel quite
really?
The same. Yeah, he's like 11 years old. He turns 11.
He turns
11 this year.
But why does it feel less than Marge?
I don't know.
I think because I've just been through a lot. So maybe it's like.
Well, yeah, and you lived alone with just Marge. Like it was you and Marge. It's always been me, Jake, and McCoy.
Yeah, that's true. And then we found John.
We added him to the pack.
We added him to our little pack of cats.
Did you have another favorite commercial? Any others that struck you?
Oh, well, we were streaming it, so we got some really funny local commercials.
Oh, yeah. Florida again?
I think it was Alabama.
Oh, and it was great.
That was good.
Wild.
No, I can't really remember any other ones that I thought were really... Oh, I thought the one with Danny McBride was really funny.
Wait, did I miss that one? I love Danny McBride.
Yeah, he was like on a... like tractor or something going through. I don't know. I just because I love Danny McBride.
Me too.
I think.
How have you watched? Oh, you watched Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of Rihanna?
Great.
Yeah.
Also, there were so many funny like tweets about like how long until someone politely asked in your party. Because I like saw it and I was like, okay. Also, there was something that was saying like we're all living in a time warp where Rihanna, we don't realize that Rihanna's not been pregnant for three. Like, it feels like she's been pregnant for 2 years.
Because, yeah.
But, like, she obviously had that baby. So I was at first like, oh, my God, hell yeah.
Postpartum.
Yeah. Like, love this. And then I was like, that looks like, I don't know. But I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to, like, comment on
100% Abby. Body. That's the exact same thing. So John and I watched the entire thing.
We watched
thing.
It in silence.
Jake. So did John. And initially, before we, like, saw her belly, we were kind of like, oh, she's not dancing a lot, but like that's like that's fine. Like look at all her dancers around her, and I was so focused on hit after hit.
Yeah,
I was like, fuck, God, this music is so good. And then we still didn't say anything. We watched the entire thing, and I went upstairs to the bathroom, and the internet confirmed she was pregnant. And so I came downstairs and I said, "So John, I don't know what you were thinking, but it is confirmed on the internet that Rihanna is pregnant." He was like, "Okay." And like we have a rule, we don't comment on people's like bodies. So like we didn't want to say, I didn't want to be like, wow, she looks
same.
Like,
and I knew Jake was not going to. Like Jake knows me well enough to know he is not allowed to comment on
someone's
body.
Same with John. And so we were like, no, we're not commenting. But I was like, but is she? And I thought the same thing, like, wow, good for her postpartum out there getting it. But also, how fucking badass to have a pregnancy announcement at the Super Bowl halftime.
Right. Amazing.
Amazing.
Who announced their... Oh, Cardi B, was it? Who did their pregnancy? Well, there's been also... A lot of people have done it on SNL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
We ever get pregnant, we'll...
I have to be on SNL.
I have to do the Super Bowl halftime.
I also really love Paris Goebel, her choreographer, who does... all of Rihanna's choreography.
Okay.
Have you ever watched the Fenty fashion show?
I never have, but I've heard it's like fabulous.
It's like an hour of that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're so incredible. So, oh my God, I'd like to watch them with you sometime.
Or yeah, just it's great.
Them. But Paris is incredible. And so I knew she'd like, they've been working together for years and those dancers were so good.
They were so good. There was one part though, and I can't remember what. And I was like, I just feel like they're just like waving their arms but it like worked with all of the people. But I was laughing at the idea of like learning the choreography and like, and now we're going to do 12, 8 counts of just waving our arms.
They
know?
Looked like Michelin men, like the Michelin, the little, is that a tire?
That is a tire company. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, last thing I will say about it, how terrifying going up and down on that thing.
When it started rocking.
But I think she's
tethered.
Yeah, in.
But still.
Oh. I was like, she's like very high up and she is pregnant.
I couldn't.
In my head, I'm saying this.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I also saw a great TikTok of her, I don't know if they're married, but her baby daddy, ASAP Rocky. Is it ASAP Rocky or just ASAP?
I don't know.
I don't know rap well enough. I only read their names. I never say it out loud. Anyways, first of all, they were like, well, now I know why it's called ASAP. And then also, because they just had a baby. He was like filming her the whole time and clapping for her from like on the ground. And it was very cute.
Oh, that's really.
Imagine if you're like, yeah, that's my baby mama.
Yeah, that is the.
And my baby's up there.
Yeah.
And she did say she was going to think about bringing a special guest.
Right. I saw that too. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Other than that, football, didn't watch any of it. Don't give a shit. Sorry if you do, but not for
I
me.
Do if it's my team, but it wasn't. So I didn't care.
So you didn't care.
I did.
Have the Packers ever been in the?
Yes.
I asked John about like if the Lions had ever been.
Yeah,
and
no.
I think once like 50 years ago.
That could be. Yeah. I'm not sure.
But
no. They've never won.
Yes.
They've never won a Super Bowl. They may have been in one.
Yeah.
Jake would know. I'm not anymore. The time when the Lions lose and aren't in the playoffs, the time when the Super Bowl happens, is the only time that I don't hear Jake talk about football because he only cares about the Lions. But as soon as the Super Bowl's over, they start talking about next year.
Oh, right. So like, he's right back in.
Yeah. So like this, I just lost my like 1 month.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We should probably get into this.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. We're talking today about season 17, episode 4, 5, and 6. You'll never walk alone, fight the power, and no time to despair. Do you want to read first?
Sure. Medical schools often ask applicants for an essay describing a time they faced adversity and how they overcame it. They want to know how people will cope with the challenges they'll face as a doctor. Some students worry they have nothing to write about. They haven't faced difficulty. I didn't have that problem. Experts say the more resilient we are, the better we can face life's challenges. And the single biggest factor for cultivating resilience, positive relationships. So find your people and keep them close. Because when you're at your lowest, those people get you through. Meredith Gray.
My mom used to tell me never to judge people until you know their story. You might think you understand, but you don't. That's why, as a patient, it's important to have an advocate, someone to tell your story, to be your voice, to say your name, especially when you don't have a voice yourself. Patients lose their power when they're referred to as bed number 4 or arm pain guy. Even in their deaths, they are not faceless. They are not nameless. They are more than statistics, more than comorbid conditions or nursing home patients. They are sons, brothers, and uncles who speak 5 languages and run restaurants. Wade Klein, 66. They are great-grandfathers who love Broadway. Jacob Lappin, 92. They are baseball-loving nurses with an easy laugh. Dane Wilson, 45. They are the world's greatest mothers, and they are the most beloved wives. Elena Rose Bailey, 84. Miranda Bailey, that's a sad.
Yeah. When a virus finds its way into our bodies, our immune system unleashes an attack. It puts up a good fight and then stands down. Or at least that's what it's supposed to do. Sometimes the system works so hard that it goes completely off the rails. Immune cells start attacking healthy tissue. They flood the lungs, clot the blood, cause vessels to leak, and shut down organs. Our own body wreaks havoc on itself. It's called the
cytokine storm. Hearing about that.
And it takes a miracle to stop it. Sometimes when you think the storm has passed, you realize you were just in the eye of it. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup, we've got Meredith Gray, COVID-19.
Then we have Tom Karasek, COVID-19, seizure and hypoxemia.
Dave Oyedomare, broken collarbone, right-sided diverticulitis.
Val Ashton, pseudoaneurysm.
Elena Bailey, COVID-19, atrial fibrillation, multi-system organ failure.
Also Alzheimer's.
Dementia? I think they said dementia. Yeah.
Kathy Elmore, pregnancy.
Shanice, smoke inhalation.
Jada Williams, smoke inhalation, second degree burns.
Robert Corson, smoke inhalation, burns, ischemic stroke.
All right. And so for rounds, while Meredith is still asleep and unable to wake up with COVID-19, George visits her at the beach. They talk about choosing to live or die and that George would choose to live. He tells her he tries to be near his mom, who didn't recover from his death. Meredith is also able to tell him how much he meant to her and that he changed her life.
Teddy and DeLuca inform Richard about a medical trial regarding COVID-19. Richard is nervous to put Meredith on the trial because everything about the disease is still so new and it's almost impossible to weigh the pros and cons. Bailey tries to help him make the decision, and ultimately he decides to put her on the trial. Meredith wakes up and has a few days where she is getting better, but when she passes out after trying to help a patient who is coding from across the hall, she ends up getting put on a ventilator.
Tom is home with COVID-19 and has modified a zombie apocalypse game to track the pandemic and show what could have happened if everyone's socially distanced and wore masks. Helm visits him daily to administer his COVID test and tells Teddy that he isn't in a good place. When Teddy goes to talk to him, he hides behind the door and is seen shivering and not doing well. Next, he's brought into the hospital via ambulance and has suffered a stroke. He gets put into a room with another COVID patient who ends up dying, and he has to be taken to Meredith so he can feel less alone.
Owen treats an Asian American patient named Dave, and both the resident Mabel and Nico are upset over his misdiagnosis that he gave Dave weeks earlier, sending him home with antibiotics and saying that it could be appendicitis. Nico says that right-sided diverticulitis is 10 times as likely in patients of Asian descent, which Owen clearly didn't take into consideration. All of this could have been avoided with a scan. Owen then goes to talk to Bailey and tries to excuse his misdiagnosis, saying that he just had to make a quick decision, and Bailey gives him a talk about equality versus equity.
Joe and Jackson decide to hang out for the night and order pizza and drink beer. In the morning, as Jackson is getting ready to leave, Joe says she is ripping off the Band-Aid and begins to make out with Jackson. They have sex and decide that they are going to be each other's pandemic sex buddies.
Bailey recently had to put her mother into an assisted living facility and is worried about her because of her dementia and the way that COVID-19 is spreading faster in facilities like that. She sends Ben to go get her out, and when he does, he ends up bringing her mom to the hospital. Her mom has COVID-19 and is not doing well. Bailey grapples with having to take care of her mom and comfort her dad while he can't be there to take care of her. Her mom continues to get worse, and when she starts to have multi-organ failure, Bailey has to say goodbye. Richard goes into the room with her, and as Bailey sings to her mom, she takes her last breath.
Joe is covering Bailey and Meredith's services and gets pulled into a room where a patient is delivering a baby and a doctor is needed. After witnessing so much death with the pandemic, Joe is inspired after bringing life into the world and tells her roommate Levi that she is considering switching her career into OBGYN.
Two girls are rescued from a house fire where they were supposedly kept as prisoners. Or not supposedly. They were kept as prisoners. The man whose house it was is also brought in while handcuffed to the gurney, and Amelia saves his life. While all this is happening, the aunt from the previous season named Opal, I say the aunt, she's not really their aunt, you know what I mean, is wandering the hospital trying to figure out what is happening. She fakes an injury to get access to the hospital, and when she leaves, DeLuca sees her. He convinces Karina to go with him to follow her while they call the police.
All right, first notes. I said, here we have Mare laying in the bed rest of the season.
I said, update on Meredith Grey, forget everyone else. Because when they're doing like the group rounds, they just like are only talking about Meredith.
Yeah.
Also, murder hornets. Do you remember that?
I do remember
like,
that.
Like, I don't remember the details, but I remember being like, well, the year can't get worse.
And then there were murder hornets. Yeah.
I also want to say a note from last week that I was, a friend of mine is watching this season right now, my friend Brianna. Not Brianna, not to be confused with Brianna, someone else. And she texted me that that Link and Amelia naming their child, what is it? Scout Derek Shepherd Lincoln or Attic. Yeah, that is she's like, it's how very Albus Severus Dumbledore, like of it. She's like, why is there so many names? And that just made me laugh.
That's really funny.
Albus Severus, you were named after two-headed masters.
So, okay.
Want to talk about George? Can we talk about George?
Let's talk about George first. Let's go there.
I feel like the other things are not exciting to me, but I have, I have things to say.
It was really nice to see. I said, oh, Georgie, when I saw him.
Yes.
And of course, like, I remember happening.
Do you remember what episode he dies in?
It's season 5.
The finale, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what I want to read by you guys, is part of the monologue. Because it says in the monologue from the episode he died.
Okay.
It says, did you say it? It's my favorite part. I get emotional. Did you say it? I love you. I don't ever want to live without you. You changed my life. Did you say it? Make a plan, set a goal, work toward it. But every now and then look around, drink it in. Because this is it. It might be all gone tomorrow. And what I feel like there's a lot I don't love about like the way T.R. Knight acts. Like as George, I feel like he's rusty. We'll talk about that. I loved that Meredith gets to say to him, I love you, you changed my life.
Yeah.
Because she didn't get to say that.
I love when that you brought that.
That's like the one writing thing that I remember when she says that, my brain like clicked
and
I
was something.
Like, yeah, like, because I don't know. I think that might be the only Grey's monologue that I like have heard so many times because I just really love that one. I appreciate that the writing was clever enough to bring that around.
So what did you think about his acting?
Okay, it felt like I couldn't put my finger on it. It felt like he was talking in a weird cadence. Like, I felt like he just forgot how to be George. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's been forever since he's acted that character.
I also feel like George had a lot of energy. Like,
yes.
He would kind of scream a lot or he would.
Yeah, he was like two level.
Yes, like he...
And measured.
Yes, and that never... Like, to me, George never felt like he had his shit together, and now he's dead. So, like, I get it, but...
Yeah, I there was something about the cadence of his voice that, yes. Like, I was hearing George because it's his voice, but it didn't match up. It's like, maybe, yeah, because it was more that than what they were saying. I really liked the part about when she's like, how did you get older? And he says something like, it's more peaceful to imagine me older.
Yes.
And I thought that was like good because also, yeah, like it wouldn't make sense that he looks so different.
Yeah. And to me, that felt like kind of good writing too, because like people would be like, well, he looks older and like, why wouldn't Meredith like,
right.
They like wrote that in there.
And it made me, maybe it's more peaceful to imagine me older. Like, I feel like we think about people we've lost when they were young and that like, I don't know, not that we imagine them that way, but I like that idea. I also like that he says, I liked all of his like woo-woo things, like his, I check in sometimes. Yeah. Like he knows her kids.
Yeah, because he mentioned something. She's like, you never got to meet them. And he says that he checks in. I also liked that he addressed the beach again, how like, like, you know, this Derek said the sand's not real. Like, yeah, the water is not real. Like, none of this is real. So like that writing continued through.
He used more words than Derek.
Yeah. But to like another person, like we're expanding on this.
Yes.
I also thought the conversation was really an interesting one about like, do you get to choose? Like, do I get to, like Meredith asking, like, did you choose?
And he didn't.
And he didn't. Like, do I get to
but
choose?
But he says, I would have stayed if I could have.
And him saying, like, I'm not really sure. I think it's different for each person, which to me, in like a woo-woo sense, makes sense. Yeah. Like, you hear these like stories about people experiencing the afterlife and being like, I decided to come back because like I had.
Right.
The chance to,
right.
Where he says he doesn't. And so like that makes a little bit more sense with how they're writing Meredith. Like, does she move forward towards these people she's lost,
right,
and stay with them, or does she come back?
I have a note here that just says, I love George so much. I think I just kept thinking about like what an incredible arc he could have had if he was still on the show. Yeah. Like I feel like Alex had a huge arc because Alex started out with a lot of problematic things, and George in his own way, like, wasn't as much of an asshole, but he also like didn't have confidence in himself. Like, he married these people without thinking. Like, there's just so much that I feel like he could have grown so much on the show. And I'm just so fucking sad that.
Well, 'cause he started as 007, right?
Right.
Like, and he never, and then he failed his intern exam. And so
right.
He was
and then he got hit by a bus when he was going to join the military, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He could have been a trauma surgeon.
Well, yeah, I think that was probably where he was heading. One of the things I did love that I got GGBs from was at the end of the monologue where it says, find your people and keep them close. And as that's being said, there's Bailey sitting next to George and Richard is sitting next to Meredith. And I remember the first time I saw that. Mm-hmm. This is only the second time. But I remember feeling something then, like when this season was live, and I did again when watching it a second time, because they're also not saying anything, they're just peacefully looking at the water. And to me, it was like a visual representation of how you can feel people who have passed.
Ooh, I love that.
And like, you can sit with them. And often I know that I have felt people that I've lost at the beach, mm-hmm. like in stillness and aloneness. And so like, I don't know, that imagery is really beautiful to me.
I do wonder too, it doesn't ever get hit on when Meredith chooses to live and come back, but like, I wonder if she feels closer to them now to like realize that they are just right there.
Yeah.
Like, I really love that, like in Harry Potter, in the books specifically, like Sirius dies and he goes just beyond the veil. And like, there's like a part where like Harry and Luna can hear voices behind that. And it's Luna says something to him. I'm butchering this, but something about like how, like, they're just right there. Like, they're just beyond the veil. And I love, like, I like to think that way, that the people that lose us are not far.
Are not far. I do wonder sometimes though about like.
Not in a haunting way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just to clarify.
They're like, oh, he's fucking there, man. God, grandma, leave me alone. No. But I do, like, this is getting way deep into some shit. But, like, I do wonder if this is something you believe in. You believe in the afterlife and you believe in even just, like, an energetic presence beyond this space. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes you think about, like, they're just there until they, like, don't need to be there. Like, I feel George is there because, like, he's there for his mom.
Yes, I was going to say, because his mom needs
his mom's not well, and she never will. But maybe when his mom passes, like, he can then pass.
Oh, I love that.
You know? And so, like, he's kind of, like, hanging at the beach for a while.
I love that so much. I also, two things. I think it's interesting. Part of the reason that,
I just thought of it. It's, no, like, go. The Lovely Bones.
I don't remember. That book scared me.
You just looked at me like,
well, I read that book and then I couldn't sleep for weeks.
Yeah, it was a really messed up book.
Because I thought I was going to be buried alive by some man.
But she like hangs out for a while in this, like, and she watches
her.
She
is dead.
And she like watches her family and stuff, and she can't like, she can't move on because her family can't move on, and her like
until they find her bones, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
There's a scarf in the field.
Yeah.
That movie, that book, not the movie, the book really scared me.
Also the movies. It's,
Who plays her? Or who plays?
Saoirse
Ronan?
Yeah. Plays her.
Whoa. I did not. Now I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
No, I won't.
I watched it, I feel like, a couple months ago, and I was like,
The book freaked me the fuck out. I can picture the cover. I can even picture what it felt like. It had like a matte
and like
cover.
Holding it. It was blue.
Yes.
What, yeah.
And I... It haunted
she
me.
Has a really interesting memoir. It's called Lucky, and she's a survivor of sexual assault, and she also has another book called
Alice Siebold. Wow,
she
why
has a
the
book,
fuck do I know
she
that?
She has a book called something The Almost Moon, dude. You think The Lovely Bones was fucked up? I own it. I'm gonna send you home with it. It's a fiction book. You'll read it super fast.
Yeah,
it's like a mother daughter relationship.
Is it scary though?
It's not scary, but it's like, it's like, oh my God, I didn't know people
like,
were capable.
Like, being murdered in a hole scares me.
It has some murder in it, but it's like, just the idea of like, wow, didn't know we're capable of, like, humans are capable of these things.
Ooh, I would love to. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm going to send you
I can't believe I didn't read it.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, I cut you
no,
off.
No, I was just saying two other parts I enjoyed. I love when Richard is on the bench next to Mare talking to her, and George says to her, if you stay here, it might break him. And I feel like there's reason number one why Mare might go back. Like because she looks at him and she's like, I know.
But to me, what was interesting is when she said, I know, to me, it read as like, I get it, but I might.
But I might stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, the idea, and I do believe that like Richard.
Yeah, he would not.
He'd have a really hard time. I also really liked, again, I'm just saying, bringing up that part when it says you changed my life then, because it's like a revelation to George. And she's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm different because of that.
Yeah.
And like, it is true. I think anyone in our life that dies, it does change those around them. And not in a bad way, like sometimes in a good way. But I just, George was only there for 5 seasons. And like the impact that bringing him back had, even though it was like not 100% the best way, it's better than the fucking hologram that's coming.
Yeah. I can't remember. We knew after Derek that they had announced there will be people coming back.
I can't remember.
I think they did because, like, we were all trying to guess who it would be, and we thought maybe we would get her mom, and we never did.
No, part of me thought that once George showed up, we were like, oh, okay, people are coming back. Because then isn't it Lexi and Mark?
Yes.
And that's it, right?
Do we see Doc, the dog?
The dog? I don't know. Oh, well, DeLuca.
Oh, DeLuca.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
That felt one like he didn't really belong
fit.
There.
No, yeah, that doesn't fit.
Anyways, I did like that she got to get closer to him too and have a conversation. Like the Derek thing, I'm like, come on.
To me, that is also a representation of her getting worse.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like she is like kind of like when she couldn't get to Derek, she wasn't deteriorating as much. And now she can get closer to the people because she's like pulling farther and farther away from her life alive and closer into the beach.
It was
I'm giving Grace lot of credit here for their writing, but that's what
I'm moving into Richard in the not in the beach land with Meredith though.
Yeah.
And I do feel like he is the perfect person for this job.
I agree.
I also think it's really hard and so sad.
Him, yeah.
And like the way he talks to her and just like being that person would be really hard.
The other thing about the beach and with Richard that is interesting, and we see it with Bailey too, is that crossing of like they're showing up in the beach when they're talking to Meredith in her like sleep state or on the vent or, you know, whatever it is. Like this is the first time we've seen someone like kind of cross into the beach.
I loved
Bailey's beach outfit.
Oh, like, I know. The purple linen.
Yeah.
Also, all of them being on that bench, they're the last remaining characters. Like,
yeah.
Which, like, I think after Alex leaving kind of hits, like, when they did that.
We love a beach scene. And as you all know, at the end of the episode, when we rate, we're going to rate the beach scene and we're going to rate the episodes.
Oh, yeah. So. I forgot about that.
Okay, so moving on from that, let us talk about, can we talk about Miranda? I feel like, and her mom, yeah. I feel like we should pay some time to this.
Yeah, it was a perfect way to me of reminding us the really brutal parts of COVID where those loved ones couldn't be with them, like her dad.
Yes.
Trying to FaceTime. And also this crossover of Miranda is a full-on adult. She has kids. But when you have to care for your – like that switch that happens.
Yeah.
And how fucking heartbreaking that is.
That like sandwich phase of life where you're yes. caring for both ends of the spectrum.
Yes. And like when you just really want someone to care for you. Like yes. you don't want to be this responsible. It just happened so fast.
I love.
Do you wanna, while you speak on this,
I yes. shall. Oh, grab some more wine. Great. Thank you. Our editor will love that. When Bailey, so Bailey's mom has dementia and Bailey has moved her family or her father and her mother, both of them out to a home where he can also live because they were living, he was taking care of his wife. Evelyn alone.
Elena. Wait, I forgot. He's there too. I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. And okay. So when she brings them and then she ends up showing up into the hospital, Elena does. Mm. And she's like panicking and they are like, we can administer some drugs. Like, what do we do? And when Bailey just starts singing, and I just have to let everyone know that that is the song I danced to with my dad on my wedding day. And it is such like every time I hear that song, I cry. Because my dad is a huge oldies fan.
Obviously. I can picture your dad.
Yeah,
dancing with you.
So that was like, I don't know. It was like mm-hmm. weirdly special to hear that song and like a different. And in the end too, like the different slower version of it. But I've been checking out vinyls from the library, and I recently checked out the Mamas and the Papas album, and they do a version of My Girl. So it has been surrounding me this week, that song has, and I love it so much. It's such a special song to me.
Did Richard join in at the end?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And Richard singing. Loves a singing
okay,
moment.
Okay, so I have to say, okay, I have to get to this line. At the end, when after Bailey has like, talk to Maggie and all of that has gone on. Richard kind of encourages her, like, you need to get in there. Like, you're going to be really sad if you don't. And when she says, I'm scared. Ugh. And then Richard says, I know, we will do it together.
I know. I had a moment where I was like, wait, if one of my parents is going to die, I want someone to go in there with me.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in alone for that.
It might be your husband. I'm sure Ben would have been there, but he couldn't be.
Yeah.
And Richard is like,
I thought you were talking to me and you're like, I'm sure Ben will be there. I was like, our friend's husband? Like, why will he be there?
No.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
But like, to me, there were like some really special moments in this episode. There are some other things that I think we can get into that like, I know what they were trying to do, but again, it's similar to that like bullet list thing of that we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. But I did have GGBs when she comes in there and she sings and Richard sings with her. And over that monologue. With all the names. And Chandra Wilson's monologue voice is just.
She's so good.
Beautiful. And at the end, to see the credit of all those names of people who lost their lives to COVID was like, fuck.
And it like zoomed
out. And just like scrolling of names. I've always wondered if those people in the monologue were real. And there's nothing about it in notes and trivia, you know, where she's like so-and-so 92.
I wonder because Elena Bailey's not real. So I would wonder if those are made up, but then they did the real ones.
Yes.
Also, like, I'm like, okay, there's that list, but like there's so many more now. Like that was like years ago. I also remember like when the New York Times did like in the first like month or two, there was like a front page because I was getting the New York Times in the Sunday edition during COVID. That's when I was like, I'm a newspaper girl.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to do. And one of their front pages was like a list of names and stuff. And so.
Do you remember the roundup of images for 2020?
I still have it.
It's so fucking scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have it. It's actually right on my record player. I have that one.
Yeah.
The photos are incredible, but it's tough.
It's just like shocking to see. So anyway, I thought those were really beautiful moments. And when the episode started, I was like, oh, fuck, this is the episode where Bailey loses her mom. And I remember feeling things during this episode.
Yeah. It was just so sad and not fair. Also, doesn't her dad?
That's what I thought. I was like, I'm pretty sure her dad dies too.
In this season.
I think so.
It was also hitting in the next episode so sad when she went to go in that room and then didn't. And she was like, my mom died in that room last night.
Yeah.
And like just so much.
The other thing.
Yeah.
When Bailey's like at the beach talking and she, again, okay, this is another one of those stories where like it doesn't hit. I've talked about this before on the podcast. Bailey says she has big thoughts and feelings. Her mom could see it. She took her to this tree and she could punch and scream and whatever. I'm like, why isn't this hitting? Like, we don't know this story. They do this on Grey's sometimes where they tell this big, extravagant story
but
that
we've
like,
never seen it happen.
Yeah, that like shaped their life. And I'm like, I don't get this writing. But the part that got me was when Mara said, I can be your tree.
Yeah.
Which was like, okay, Meredith, like, she's dying in a bed right now. And Meredith, and we know that like Bailey can't hear her, but right. Meredith's like, well, I'll be your tree.
Yeah. I also, the little mention George made of, do you still dance it out?
Yeah.
Was like nice, even though I was like, no, she doesn't. And he's like, well, Christina didn't die.
Yeah.
But they did leave her.
What do you think about Bailey and Maggie on the bench? I remember that scene very well.
I do too. I do feel like everything they said was incredibly important and like, almost shocking that they've not had more conversations like that before. I do know that, like, obviously, like, racism has and is always a thing, but in 2020 became a larger conversation to people who normally didn't think about it. Or have to think about it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that conversation was really great. What I would love to see moving forward, which I feel like we don't, is like more Bailey Maggie moments together. Like, I think I have a hard time with these bonding, these moments and these deep conversations, and then it like never happens again. Like, it felt a little like a bullet point.
Yeah.
That, like, I just feel like, but I did think it was like really epic. And I do think like Maggie this season, like embracing her braids, like just all, I remember being like, I feel like we're seeing a more fuller character of Maggie.
Yeah, I feel like Maggie too. Like, there are a couple, like, there's the Maggie Amelia moment and there's the Owen Bailey moment.
Yeah, the Amelia moment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like they're doing like an intentional job of writing it into, which is good. And it needs to be written into the script. I don't know what it is. There was this feeling that I felt watching these three episodes. I said to Abby, number one, like, I feel like these are like never ending episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like they go on and on and on. And there is, and I get it, at this time in life, there was little to no joy. But there's like no joy in these episodes.
Yes.
And so all of these things are happening in the world and it is happening in Grey's Anatomy. And it was like how it made the characters more real, but it was also like, I don't know. I still have complicated feelings.
Well,
Bree
was
it.
Like, why are these so hard to watch? And I was like, because we lived it. Like it literally, it doesn't, I don't want to be as extreme as to say PTSD because it's not that for me personally, but it is reliving a really horrible time emotionally and whatever. Like, it's, it's dark to walk into.
Yeah. Speaking of those different conversations, I think that Bailey's conversation to Owen was so good.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. I also felt like Owen, sometimes we like shit on Owen, but I think like once, I do believe that he shouldn't have to be taught. I want to make sure I phrase this right.
I know. It's like we're trying to follow all the fucking rules right now. And like, we're also two humans who like fucking make mistakes and fuck up.
Right.
So.
But I do think like, I almost wished that like, Mabel would have felt like she was able, like if Nico hadn't shut her down and said like, you can't talk to an attending and say that. I do think if she had said something to Owen, he would have been like, oh shit, you're right. I don't know. But I'm glad, I guess he did. I don't know. I know.
But I loved Bailey's response.
Yeah.
And again, like Bailey shouldn't have to like educate Owen, but I liked her, what she said about like, it's not about, because his whole thing was like, I'm trying to treat
everyone
each
equal.
patient equal. And she's like, it's not about equality. It's about equity, which I think is a great line and a great it's just correct.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. But then the part two that I thought was great was she said, you're the chief of trauma. If these protocols aren't working, fucking learn and do something about them and change the protocols. And I thought that was a really good point of like, not just like, oh, like, you know, like don't misdiagnose again, like change the system. This is what we're talking about. Like change the system. The system's broken. It's not working. And you as a white male and the head of trauma have the power to do something about it. Do it.
Exactly. I thought I wrote down the line. I really liked what Amelia said to Maggie. She said something like, I'm really sorry. It's a lot to hold all of that. She didn't like.
She said, how do you, I'm really sorry. You're right. Like, how do you hold all that? And Maggie said, by the skin of my teeth.
Right. And I just liked the, it's kind of like when any friend talks about something, they don't want a solution. They want to be acknowledged.
Yes.
That like what they're going through is hard. And so I was glad that Amelia, I felt like.
Yeah. It was nice to see too, like an acknowledgement of Maggie being a black woman and her sister being white. Because I don't feel like we've ever had that on Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
And so, yeah, like I think it was important that everything is being shoved in their faces right now. Everyone in this hospital. And for Maggie to be like, God damn it, Amelia, right. You know, and that is something we haven't seen before. And I think it was important for their relationship. I remember feeling that way.
When this first aired.
Yeah. It's just so hard. Like, like all of these things are important. And we talked about this at
the beginning,
that like none of these, like I'm not
dismissing these topics.
These topics or how important they are. But it's so hard to watch a show that is tackling every single issue.
All of them.
In the world.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a show about like, and I get that there's like obviously crossover between like equity and medical care.
Yeah.
You know, like I get that that is in, that's there. But like it's every single fucking thing that has been going on. And well, it's like everything that's been going on racially forever and then add a pandemic on top of it and be like, and now we're going to tackle all of it in one right here for all of you to view. And it's just like, it feels exhausting.
Well, and it was, It does. That's, you put it the perfect way. It's like they're just trying to do it all at once and fast. And it's not like they've always been, they once in a while tackle topics, but it's like peppered in. And this is just like kablam.
Yeah.
like all of them.
You're going to hear about all of this. And it's like, it doesn't mean that it's not important, but.
Like, for example, Bree and I, of all people in the world, care so much about the overturning of Roe. Like, I feel like if you know us, you know that's important. And we were annoyed by the way they tackled that.
On Grey's Anatomy.
Because it was like Joe wearing fucking black uniforms.
Yeah.
I was just like, enough.
Yeah, enough with this goddamn bullshit.
Right. Like, it's just, it's a lot. And like, we, especially like,
I just want them to have a dance party, but I think they do in the backyard and I think it's awful. I think it's simply awful. Like,
I honestly, give me an entire season on the beach. I don't even want the hospital. I just want weird ass conversations on the beach. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Two moments of lightness, because I think that's what Tom is here for, is Tom had two lines that made me giggle.
Okay.
One is so stupid, but I still laughed, was when Teddy's talking to him and she thinks he's like not awake. And then he says, what would you say to a sponge bath, you know, as friends? That got me. And also in the first episode, when he's talking to Helm and he says, because Helm shows up in full PPE.
Yeah.
And he says, did you ask the humans to take you to their leader? Because that's no longer me. And I felt like I needed that. I also had a huge jump scare when that zombie showed up on the screen. Like, it felt like that video in middle school that we all got sent where it's like a twisting road.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's like a woman like,
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I also like was like, oh my God, remember seeing all those maps of like, this is what it would happen if yeah. we social distance. Yeah. This is if we wore masks. This is if we did both.
Well, and also too, I like, and I know not everyone was, but whenever I would see those things, I would be like, I'm fucking doing that. I'm fucking home, losing my mind, wearing a mask in my own home alone. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, and that's like the feelings I felt watching these yes. episodes is just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, shake it out. I remember having so many, I just screamed really loud. Yeah. But I know having like so many conversations with you during these times of just like, I don't know, man. Like, I like just straight panic all the time.
Yeah.
I have a couple favorite lines that are insane. When Owen says to the like human trafficking man, you're the devil's barbecue, so get used to the smell of burning flesh.
Oh my God, I had so much wine in my mouth.
Outrageous. The fact that Owen didn't get fired for that. Like, I don't care that. I mean, I do care that this guy was an awful
human
being.
But I don't think he, I'm trying to remember. I don't think he is. I think that lady put them in his house and set it on fire or something. Oh. I'm trying to remember. I could be wrong. Maybe he definitely is guilty, but it's Opal that's guilty. I think it was just his house.
I'm gonna read the line again. You're the devil's barbecue, so get used to the smell of burning flesh.
That sounds like what conservatives are saying about Sam Smith's new album. It's just so bad.
It's like the most insane line ever. I'm going to say that to someone when I'm really mad at them.
Yeah, it's
Was
that in the third episode?
Yeah, that was in the third episode.
Okay. What did I say? Oh, yeah, no. Oh, I said, I have a note about the third episode that says they are so out of storylines that they are fighting about setting up hospital beds. Like, they were just, there was like 5 minute scene about fighting when Teddy's like, Helm, you need to put the one. I was like, what are we watching?
Also, I guess Catherine's a non-masker.
Yeah, I missed that, but that checks out.
That she like is wearing masks around her chin and like Jackson's like, she's immunocompromised and like, it's like, what is going on?
Okay, another dumb line was, okay, like love that DeLuca's back on his meds. His health is important to him. But when he literally says, he's talking to Bailey and he's like, mind if I knock off? I gotta go take my meds. Like, who the fuck says that? Like,
she's like, I'm so proud of you, DeLuca.
But just like, I feel like, what if I did that every morning? Hey, mind if I knock off? Gotta go take my meds.
I do feel like they are really, really trying to show how well DeLuca is in order for him to then say to Karina, like, come with me. Yes. I'm not losing my shit right now.
Yes.
In fact, I wanted to read something from from a listener on Patreon. Hello, I'm a podcast ghost. This is Amal, Ali or Ali. I don't know how. Amal. Hello, I'm a podcast ghost about to scream some things into the void.
Here we go.
DeLuca was actually supposed to die by the end of season 16 before the pandemic interruption. His death was simply delayed until they could resolve the human trafficking storyline. The actor who plays DeLuca wanted to be written off the show so that he would transition into directing, and he even directed an episode of Grey's later that same season after his character's death. And then they said that they're really happy that we're planning on watching the Station 19 crossover because he dies next season. And so watching those back-to-back, it's going to be really helpful. And that made them feel really emotional with the storyline, seeing the whole
thing. Okay, good, because I remember being like, bleh!
Yeah, but I thought that was really interesting about, like, because we didn't know if DeLuca wanted to leave, but he did.
That checks out, too, more that would have made more sense for it to all happen in one season.
Yes, yeah. So thank you for...
Yes, thank you, Amal.
Yeah.
What is this line? I can't remember if this is a line... Is it, I wrote, you can't shut down the world for the flu. I don't think anyone said that, but I do. Okay, but I do think what happened.
What? I don't think anyone said that.
I watched the third episode on yesterday, and my friend Brianna, the one I was mentioning, came over and was watching it with me. And I think we were joking. Oh, it was like showing all those names all those people died. Like, oh, this was when Hector Martinez, which I want to talk about, that dies next to Tom. And it was like very sad. And then I think she was pretending to be those people that go, "You can't." No, I'm sorry. Jake said this. Jake, in like a voice, all of a sudden goes, "You can't shut the world down for the flu." And that just fucking killed me because people were saying that, you know? And,
people were saying that.
Like, not like people in real world. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like COVID was just the flu.
Yes. Yes. And like, I didn't even think he was watching with us. And all of a sudden he just said that. And then I was like, yeah, this is wild. Why did I wrote anesthesiology snooze? These jokes are so bad.
I don't.
Someone made a joke about, they're like, anesthesiology snooze. Oh, I think it was Tom to Meredith or something.
Yeah. So we should talk about Tom. I felt, okay. So I remember when Teddy, like, I remember watching this for the first time when Teddy shows up and she's talking through the door.
Right.
And then when it pans down to him being like, no, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom. Because when we see him before the episode,
he's
before,
like, okay.
He's like, I'm fine. I think I've actually, it's a false negative. Like, he even shows up to work. Like,
right.
I'm literally fine, which happens with COVID.
Right. And then he mentions his son, David. Yes. Yeah. He's not doing well. But what got me the most is when he was, when his roommate coded.
Yeah.
And he was died. So shaky. Yep. And he asked Maggie what his last name was. And he says, like, this guy, oh, this is, yeah, I have goosebumps. He said something like, every day he FaceTimes with his wife and you can see that he's putting up a front. He's caring for her while dying. Like, he's acting like it's not that bad. And he hears kids in the background. And he goes, so yes, I would like to know his last name for my prayers.
I know.
And then she says it. And that made me really sad.
I think Tom is such a gruff person, but like, through the April episodes and stuff, we have seen that he is a man of maybe not faith, but spirituality in some way. And like, he, you know, goes to the chapel and he talks to his son. And I thought it was really interesting too, when he's in there with Meredith and he's like, you know, it makes me kind of grateful that like David's not here for this. And he's like, who am I kidding? I don't mean that. Like, I wish like he were here. And he, like, he is so holding on to, and I think I remember this because Meredith. Now Mare's on the vent. Like, he's so holding on to, if Meredith can get through this and she can survive, then I can survive.
Right.
And so like, when his roommate dies, he's like, well, I have to go see Meredith to make sure she's okay. And when they like, they there's that hands. Moment where they hold hands that I thought was,
and really, they've never really talked. They don't have a lot, but I loved how he's like, oh, she's like, oh, you think I'm putting you in the top five? Like, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I also remember too, like, I mean, the first time I got COVID in 2020, the first few days, it was like, Jake and I both, we're like, are we going to get bad? Like,
it was such a,
no, because it was so random.
I bought like a pulse ox.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes,
uh-huh. And I remember one day, John and I think we're in the 80s. And like, that's low, like really, really low. Cause I think you're supposed to be what at like the good is like 95. And if you're like under 92, you should be concerned. I mean, we were both at like 88 and we were like, fuck.
Yeah, it was just like, so scary.
Do we need to do something? And it was almost worse having that. Like, cause we kept like putting it back on and checking being like, but yeah.
So him needing to feel.
Dude, it's so scary. I really don't think enough time has gone by for us
to watch the season.
To watch the season and process this. Because like you mentioned, like, I mean, COVID is still a thing. And thankfully we have, you know, vaccines and we have, and I feel like it's like mutated to a different form that it's not as like.
And there's like another drug.
Yeah. And there's like, helps. All, you know, like all these different things. And if, but like, you know, I understand that people who are immunocompromised or like. It's just like still there. And so like the panic comes right back.
Yes.
Of like,
it's too soon to watch all of this.
Well, yeah. And I remember like, and with like the Tom thing about like being okay, or with the Meredith thing,
the surge was something else. Sorry, surge capacity.
Yeah, but like, I know that when John and I had it, and thankfully, like, we never had to go to the hospital and like we were okay. And but like, I remember we were really, really sick. And then there was about a day or two, I felt a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then I got really sick again. And it was so scary. And I was like, am I going to be like this because long COVID, like,
right.
Am I going to be like this the rest of my life? And I remember sitting in that chair right there, like crying, like, I don't know what's going on.
You just didn't know. Yeah. Everything was so unknown.
Yeah.
Which is like, they talk about the trial with Meredith where like Richard is like, we can't even talk pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been long enough.
Yeah. So I felt, I thought Owen did a good job when he sends Teddy away while they're working on Tom. Mm-hmm. Like, he does that in a kind way of like, I got this, Teddy.
Yeah. Yes.
Which, like, good for Owen for being able to do that after Tom, after Teddy cheated on.
Right. They're still in a weird. Oh, okay. Let's, I feel like we can
talk about Allison.
The last thing, yeah, that we should hit is that. So I was like, what is this note about? Teddy tells Owen about Allison and says that it's not just her friend. It was the love of her life. And she says she's never told him this. I didn't think Owen's response was great. Mm-hmm. He says, turns out I just never really knew you. But also, at least it's out there. I don't know. It was just weird.
It was, I don't remember that being the response, but it was an interesting way to write it of like, what has changed?
Right.
He was asking, like, what has changed that you ended up lying to me? And I guess it does make sense, but, like, nothing's changed. You've always been this person. You've always been lying. You've always been this person. I literally don't know how they get back together.
Can't wait to see. And then they become criminals.
Yeah. We have two things to talk about. Amelia and Link. We need to mention them.
Oh, the fucking guitar. Let me requote it for you, actually. It says, okay, so Link is a one-man pep rally. Link is also toxic positivity.
Uh-huh.
Like, but for me, he says something like, for making me talk when all I want to do is play my damn guitar.
I texted you like, I cannot with Link's guitar.
No, like, I get it. Yes. Like, some people, they have other ways of coping. And Amelia's like, Amelia is needing him to always meet her way.
Yes.
Of like talking through things, which I did appreciate in the garden when he sat across from her. He's like, okay, like, let's do it.
Let's sit down. Let's do it. Yeah.
But then he did need his own space. I just wish his space, what he needed, wasn't such a dumb thing. Like the way, you know what I mean? Like just the way it is. He's just like, I just got to play a Right.
Yeah.
Like, why can't it be like going, I'm not even going for a run. I don't know. I just not playing guitar.
I thought it was kind of funny. The name of his song was like, if COVID doesn't kill us, climate change will.
That was another where I was like, God damn it. We're hitting climate change too?
Yeah.
Because the world was on fire.
Yeah. Well, and it still is. But yeah, I think this
is the beginning of their demise.
Yeah. And it's just showing like also what happens about being in space with someone
with a far longer children.
Than you should have to, you know, and respecting, you know, I don't need to get too deep into this, but I don't know if Link's way is the healthiest way about like, I'm not going to deal or process with my emotions. I guess I appreciated that when he said all of that, Amelia just laid down.
Yeah.
But also too, I feel like in that moment, Amelia maybe should have been like, I totally get it. I'm going to give you some space. Not like I'm going to lay you.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. And then finally, Winston shows up for
Maggie. Oh, that part made me a little weepy because I do remember hugging people that I hadn't seen in a really long time and that was like
a really special thing.
Yeah.
To be like in.
I felt her feeling of relief.
Well, yeah, because she like now Meredith got worse and she's on the vent and like and she's alone in a hotel room.
Right.
And her person is here. Also, that Zoom meeting of the grandma.
Absurd.
And stuff. Oh, God.
You did not leave your new girlfriend.
I love that Maggie stayed on the call and was like, so is there cake? Like, good for her.
I love that hug, though, so much. And does he end up working at their hospital now?
I believe so. Yeah.
So
that's where we're at. Should we get into notes and trivia?
Let's do it. This episode's title originated from the song You'll Never Walk Alone, originally sung by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
It scored 5.84 million viewers.
The beach scenes with George were filmed in mid-October 2020. Mm. Krista Vernoff wrote most of the beach scenes herself, since the majority of the writers did not know about the special guest stars appearing on the beach. The final scene where Richard and Bailey appear on the beach with Meredith and George was pitched by Meg Marinus and Andy Reeser, who read Krista's beach scenes and saw an opportunity to create an iconic moment by reuniting the four characters.
Yeah. Julie Wong, the credited writer for the episode, learned of George appearing in the episode after turning her first or second draft. Or turning in, I think. When Krista decided that the George scenes would be included in the fourth episode. Since some of non-beach scenes for the episode had to be removed in order to accommodate the decision, they ended up having a room in the episode and time on the schedule with T.R. Knight for one more beach scene that had not been written yet. Krista then asked Julie to write the scene. Julie then went to rewatch the first five seasons with George before writing the scene where Meredith tells George that he changed her life. Oh, Julie. Great work.
I love that. In the scenes where Meredith is in a coma, she is played by a doll made to look like Ellen Pompeo to help maintain COVID safety protocols. To, quote, help maintain. She just didn't want to be there.
Levi has a human rights campaign sticker on his bike. HRC is the largest LGBTQ advocacy group and political lobbying organization in the United States.
In this episode, Hunt misdiagnoses an Asian American patient because he doesn't recognize how protocols are white centered and thus not always adequate for Asian American patients. It is Bailey who explains to him in the end how he should handle such a mistake by adapting the protocols. This points us to another episode, Don't Fear the Reaper, in which it is Bailey herself who is the patient being misdiagnosed because of a doctor ignoring how heart attacks present itself differently in women and how it is more likely dangerous for especially Black women.
This episode's title originated from the song Fight the Power, originally sung by Public Enemy.
The episode scored 5.69 million viewers.
It is the first episode not to feature Anthony Hill as Winston Ndugu since his addition to the main cast.
The ending title card is followed by an extensive montage of names of real-life people who passed away due to COVID-19.
This episode's title originated from the song No Time for Despair, originally sung by Fran Schultz.
It scored 5.66 million viewers.
All right, so Catherine Fox Award.
He's there
for Bailey, and then he puts Meredith in the trial, and then he puts Meredith on the vent.
Absolutely.
Richard.
Rating
or Bailey. Also, I'm going to give it to Richard and Bailey.
Great.
Bailey walks her mom. I'm going to give it to Richard.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay. I'm rating the non-beach scene a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
It wasn't, like, abysmal, because I liked the Bailey mom story. Like, I thought that was well done.
I feel good about that 5 out of 10. I think it was better than the last 3.
Yes. The beach scene, I'm going to give a 7.
Okay.
It could have been better for sure, but I am never going to complain about a George mention and the fact that we literally got him on the show.
I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. Great. Because that last scene where they're all sitting on that log really did something for me. So.
Perfect.
Okay, we are so grateful that you listened to this whole episode. If you have thoughts and feelings about the COVID season, you can be a patron. It's in the show notes. Join the Facebook group. Talk about it. And anyway, if you are a $10 patron,
Stick around.
We're going to talk and post up. Time of death is 2020. Wow.
No.
Oh, no, God. Oh, no. We're back there.
Beep.